The 2024 NFL Draft heads to Detroit, and it's time to see who gets the job.
Caleb is a unique and special talent throwing the football.
And what sets them apart.
The Heisman Trophy winner is Jaden Daniels.
All of the greats were hired here.
What a throw by Mahomes.
See who gets the job.
Are you ready?
The 2024 NFL Draft begins Thursday, April 25th on ESPN, ABC, and NFL Network.
Welcome into the latest edition of ESPN FC. I'm Dan Thomas, joined here in the studio today by Craig Burley. Also with us on today's show, Stevie Nicol and Frank LaBeouf. As we kick things off in the Premier League, a good day overall for the Manchester side. Manchester City with a 2-0 victory over Aston Villa. Put them for a moment up to first in the table. However, in the late game, Manchester United coming from behind to beat Fulham by 2-1 to put Ole Gunnar Solskjaer's side top of the Premier League. Let's start, shall we, with that victory at Craven Cottage. Pretty routine, is that fair to say, in the end?
I mean, look, it was a good 3 points away from home, bearing in mind they knew the result from earlier and they saw how well City played at times. To go behind again and then come back, you can't argue with that. I mean, it's a screaming goal from Paul Pogba, really brilliant goal. It gets a lot of people saying, well, all the Pogba people that hated him, and not hated, hated is the wrong word, the people that criticised Pogba, they call it haters. And I think my stance would be in this, like probably at most, is that you have to ask the question, where was it most of the other time? Right. Because we know it's in there, and it's all very well doing this now and again, but we know, and other people know, he could be doing this kind of thing way more often, and I think that's where the criticism came early in the season. I know he had an injury. But it was a great 3 points, great goal. That being said, and I know we'll talk about it, Areola in goal, gifted, an absolute gift to Cavani. But Cavani did what all great strikers of that experience do. He was sharp, he's getting game time. He was on it like a flash. And whenever Cavani got that goal, you just felt that Man United were going to go on and win this game in a very windy evening at Craven Cottage.
Stevie, what's changed with Pogba?
I think he's realised that walking around like a diva isn't going to cut it for anybody, particularly him. You know, he when he was playing previously, and, well, I say playing, he was on the field, he was holding the ball too long, he was trying to hold people off to try and show how strong he was, try to do little flicks to show everybody how clever he was. He's kind of lost that. He's now got his head down, and he's running around, and he's getting on with it, and everything else has just come together. I mean, this goal he scored isn't the first one. He scored a worldie a couple of weeks ago as well. So this is actually the real Pogba that we're seeing right now. So I think it's down to a complete change in attitude. The diva Pogba has been put to bed, hopefully for the moment. But, well, if you're a United fan, hopefully it's forever.
Frank, can he keep this up now consistently?
Well, that's the main concern that we have about Paul Pogba. We all agree that he has the talent, but the consistency is not there most of the time. You know, and I just want to remind you that he said like 4 or 5 years ago that he wanted to be the Ballon d'Or. And when you want to be the Ballon d'Or, of course, you need to be consistent because you have to do everything. Well, it seems to be that Ole find a solution, putting Fred behind him or McTominay behind him and not asking him to defend too much, because Paul doesn't do that because he doesn't want to do that. But offensively, if he's free and fresh enough, he's going to bring what he brought today, his talent. But again, we don't know what's going to happen within 3 days, within 15 days, within a month, because Paul can change his attitude very quickly. That's the main concern. But if we are very critical, it's because we like him. It's not because we hate him. I don't talk about people that I hate. I ignore them. But people I love, I talk about them.
Stevie makes a good point, actually. And I was watching him today again, and it's not just today. But you go away to Craven Cottage, you know, there's a team that are going to sort of hunker in, play five at the back, a bit of pace up front. They're going to scrap. They're a decent little side. They've got a chance of getting out of this relegation battle with Scott Parker. But you go to these places, a wet, windy night with that storm coming in, and it's easy to kind of hide. That's one of the things that impressed me with him, was whenever I watched him, he was chasing back.
Right.
Stevie said he got his head down. He was trying to win the ball back if he lost it. When they weren't in possession, he was chasing back in to help the fullbacks. We weren't seeing that from him before, so that's a huge bonus for Man United. Here's what I think, and we saw and heard Mino Raiola.
Yeah, this is what I was going to say just a few weeks ago, coming out and saying that he wants to leave the club.
Yeah, and I don't think that's changed. What I think may have happened here is there could have been a and I'm surmising, I think there's been some sort of conversation. We said, listen, we can't just let you go in the summer for a pittance. So I need you to be the Paul Pogba that, I said, and I'm talking about Solskjaer and his staff, I need you to be the Pogba with Nobby Khan between now and the end of the season. Let's see what we can deliver for Man United. If we deliver success for Man United and you play well, we can start hiking your price again and we can work something out with a club. Because all of a sudden, if Pogba's in form, there's a Euros coming up in the summer that at this moment is still going ahead. He is back in the shop window big time. He's not back in it if he's sitting on the bench at Man United every week, which he was. Mm. If he's scoring goals like that, and the one he scored, I think it was at West Ham a couple of weeks ago, then all of a sudden, the elite clubs again are looking and saying, hold on, he's got a rocket up his backside again. That works for everybody. There's no losers in that scenario, whether right. it's his agent, whether it's him, or whether it's Solskjaer, Man United. There's no losers. And I think there is some common sense at the moment has come to the fore here and said, look, this is not doing anybody any good.
Sure.
Let's get out there, let's graft, show your talent, and then we'll figure it out in the summer, one way or another. I don't think him staying at Man United has changed. I don't think it's a major problem for them. But I think producing what we know he can between now and the summer works for everybody. That goes without saying. Him sitting on the bench works for no one.
Frank, just to tie a bow on all of this game, you mentioned before we went on air, Areola, and you weren't surprised to see him spill the ball because he did it for PSG so often.
Well, that's the main problem. Yeah, he can be fantastic, and he's been against Chelsea. He made so many saves, and he did once again, you know, after that goal and that stupid mistake. He had a good save in front of Cavani, but that's Areola, I have to say. That's a pity, because he has the talent, but he makes mistakes like that. We saw that with Paris Saint-Germain. We saw that a little bit less for Real Madrid, but it's why his career is not launched, because of those kind of mistakes. So he needs to rebound and go to Fulham to help them to not get relegated. But I don't know if he can reach the top. He's a champion of the world. He's been the third goalkeeper of France. He has the talent. For sure he has the talent. And we saw that so many times. And again today we saw that many times with some saves that he can make. But again, it's about consistency. You have to be consistent and make the save. If you have one thing to do, is to make sure to keep the clean sheet. And that's not the case for Areola. And we can see that too many times.
As I mentioned, Manchester City momentarily went top of the table after a victory against Aston Villa. Now, this was almost like one of Stevie's classic 0-0 matches that we've been discussing, because it was goalless for so long, but it was so entertaining, wasn't it?
Well, it was a head-scratcher how it was goalless for so long, particularly halfway through the second half. And I mean that for both sides. I mean, the fact that City, who we've sort of lauded defensively for the last couple of months and have kept clean sheet after clean sheet, that this might be one of the luckiest clean sheets that they had, because it was last-ditch defending in the second half in particular from Ruben Dias. How he got that one away, I mean, I think it was luck. When it came fizzing across the six-yard box, John McGinn slipped when he looked as if he was going to put it in the back of the net. There was other chances for Aston Villa. So I credit Villa for, once again, listen, going away from home in the Premier League and really having a bash,
yeah.
Particularly in the second half. The first half, it was a bit backs-to-the-wall stuff. But I really thought City, their build-up play was excellent. I mean, it was quite clear that what they're missing,
yes,
up until the Bernardo Silva goal, was ball after ball, fizzing across the six-yard box, and nobody making a run. Their actual build-up play for the majority of the game was superb.
The goal from Bernardo Silva, of course, shrouded in controversy after it looked like Rodri was coming from an offside position when he won the ball. But it's been confirmed from all places that it was the right decision, because once Mings touched the ball, he has it under control. It means it's reset.
Yeah, but once he touches it as a control of the ball.
Exactly. If it ricochets off him, it's a different world. But because he chests it down and controls it, that is why it's different. Stevie, we've seen a lot of people scowling at this rule.
Yeah, and the rule's wrong. You know, by the letter of the law, the referee got it right. But that doesn't mean to say that it is right, because it's clearly not. And you cannot say that Rodri, by being in an offside position, benefited. It's impossible not to say that he did benefit. So the law has to be changed, 100%. And like a lot of laws, they're not watertight. I mean, they're just not. You know, you could turn around and say, OK, the law's going to be that if you benefit at all from being offside, then it shouldn't be allowed. But then that means that if a centre-back turns around and passes it to him, then he's still benefiting from being offside. So the law has to be rewritten. But again, it can't be watertight, because it's just not possible sometimes.
Frank?
Yeah, but yeah, the thing is, Stevie, I have a question. The thing, I agree with you. I think it's stupid, and Rodri shouldn't be allowed to touch the ball. I don't know. But the thing is, you have to give a time. When Rodrigo, will be part of the game again in that situation. If Minx gets the ball, control the ball, and let's say Rodrigo cannot touch the ball, when Rodrigo can touch the ball, that's the main concern. It's why they put that rule. It's because somebody else, an opponent, has to touch deliberately the ball. Yeah. And that's the case for Minx.
I think
it's... But otherwise, you cannot do. When do you say he has 1 minute before not touching the ball?
that's
the only thing.
I think one way to look at this, and who I feel sorry for, and by the way, let's talk about Bernardo. Let's talk about Bernardo Silva goal as well.
Yeah. You were mocking him on Twitter for not scoring.
I'm mocking him on Twitter for not shooting, because he did what he did at Spurs in many other games. I looked at his stats before the game. During the game, no league goals. And I was like, well, there's no surprise there. He's trying to dribble the ball in him. It's just crazy. And then all of a sudden, he does the obvious thing and it's in the top corner. So, you know, he should be doing that more often. I mean, not one goal in the Premier League for him is just not good enough with his talent. I totally agree, and I feel sorry for the officials, because they're the ones that got absolutely smashed from pillar to post. And I can understand Dean Smith being, you know, going apoplectic about it. But they've followed the IFAB laws of the game to the letter of the law, so I feel sorry for them. Maybe one way around it is to say, OK, we leave that law where Rodri's coming back from an offside player, but he cannot be the first player from that team to make a play for the ball. When Frank's saying, when does he come back in to play? Maybe that law could be, he can come back in to play, right, but he can't be the first City player to go and pursue Tyrone Mings. So it has to be somebody else that gets there before him. That would be the only way that you could sort of police that law. And even that itself would be difficult. We don't see it very often, but what we saw was an unfortunate law that went against Aston Villa today and favoured Manchester City.
Speaking of the title race, Liverpool are in action against Burnley on Thursday. This is a Liverpool side, let's not forget, who haven't scored in... Well, they haven't won in three matches. They haven't scored in two matches going in... No, it was three. Yeah, I was thinking, guess what? They haven't scored in three matches going into this, haven't won in four after that 7-0 victory against Crystal Palace. You would think kind of the perfect opponent to try and set things straight would be Burnley at Anfield. That's, of course, the match that's coming up. Frank thinks that they're going to fill their boots 5-0. Craig going for a 3-0. Stevie, meanwhile, a 2-0. You can check out whether they are right or not on the next edition of the show. Be sure to join us, as, of course, we'll be reflecting on that big game in the Premier League.
Passion, drive and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights and more. Whether you're into speed, power or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
What a result in the Copa del Rey we saw on Wednesday. Alcoyano beating Real Madrid by 2-1. This is a side who ply their trade in the third tier of Spanish football. It would be Real Madrid who would take the lead. Militao just before the break. It looked like that would be enough. But then Solbes with a late equaliser would send it into extra time. Alcoyano in extra time reduced to 10 men. Ramon Lopez sent off. But despite that, Ali Diakite would score the winner that would see Alcoyano through to the next round. Real Madrid out. Gab, how big a deal is this?
Well, then there's two ways to look at it. If you're the eternal dyed-in-the-wool Real Madrid optimist, you can say, okay, fine, it's a disappointing defeat, but that wasn't Real Madrid out there. That was Casemiro and basically Vinicius and 10 other guys, or 9 other guys, Valverde, if you want. You know, they had Victor Chus making his debut. They had Lunin making his debut in goal. They gave up a late goal on the break. That's one way, if you want to put a positive spin on it. Negative spin is, this is Alcoyano. Let me say it again. This is Alcoyano. This is a team from Segunda División B. This is a team that's effectively the third flight. You had the lead. All you had to do was manage the lead. After the equalizer, they sent on first Benzema and then Hazard and Asensio, and still they couldn't go and sort it out. So Zidane said after the match that, you know, we'll see in the coming days and weeks where we are, blah, blah, blah. I don't think it's going to cost him his job, but it is, I think, definitely another blow and a reminder that, you know, something is wrong in the attitude, perhaps, with which these guys, or at least the guys who played against Alcoyano, take the pitch, because, you know, this was their chance to convince the manager they had a deeper team, and they didn't take it.
Meanwhile, Juve picking up their 9th Italian Super Cup, beating Napoli by 2-0. Cristiano Ronaldo opening the scoring. Napoli then awarded a penalty, Insigne though putting it wide. And then Alvaro Morata would guarantee Pirlo's first piece of silverware as coach with a late goal on the counter-attack. Gab, I suppose, similar to what I asked you about Real Madrid, how significant is this?
Well, I think it was significant for Juventus because obviously it came after that big defeat against Inter. The Super Cup in Italy, like in Spain, you know, it's not like the Community Shield. People actually care about it to some degree. I think Juve made some progress compared to the... Certainly, well, they couldn't be worse than they were against Inter. They had Cuadrado back, which is a big boost. Kulusevski up front with Cristiano. Kulusevski not really a striker, so that was going to impair them. But, you know, they didn't... They certainly played with more bite in the middle of the park, which is something that Pirlo was looking for. Ultimately, I think Napoli are going to rue this as well, though, given that, you know, Cristiano's goal came, he was played onside by the deflection off of Koulibaly. Obviously, there was the Insigne penalty miss. There was another miss from Lozano late on where Szczesny made a tremendous save, which we didn't see in the highlights. So, all told, I think, you know, it's a reminder that Juve still have a lot to work on here. And as for Napoli, I don't think they played badly at all.
Gab, thank you very much. A lot more from Gab and Jules, of course, on the latest edition of the Gab and Jules podcast. Apparently, their special guest is Don Hutchinson.
Did you know less than 10% of Americans own an e-bike? Here's why that should change. Studies show e-bike owners actually end up exercising more, plus getting outside more. If you're looking for a balanced lifestyle and everyday adventures, you need to check out Lectric e-bikes. They are the number one selling e-bike brand in America. Their bikes are typically foldable, pre-assembled, and have serious range up to 150 miles on some models. Check them out today at lectricebikes.com and add some more adventure to your week. That's lectricebikes.com.
Plenty of action in Germany today. Bayern Munich and Leipzig both with victories. Bayern Munich remaining then 4 points clear at the top of the table. Leipzig in second. Let's welcome in, shall we, Jürgen Klinsmann and Casey Keller to the show. Jürgen, let's start show with Bayern's victory over Augsburg. This was such a strange game because Bayern were so dominant in the first half. You thought then they were going to kick on, but in the end they were holding on.
Yeah, it was actually, I mean, obviously the story of two penalties. Lewandowski scores the one and Augsburg misses the one. But first half you thought, you know, Bayern is just rolling on and is scoring the second or the third goal. And it's an easy day for Bayern. But all changed in the second half. Augsburg became courageous. They came out of the back far more. They pressed higher up the field. They started to believe in themselves. And they created chances. And then obviously the biggest chance was then the penalty they were awarded. Mm. And there maybe the nerves, shooting a penalty or having a penalty against Manuel Neuer, maybe that made a little bit of the difference. You know, they didn't score. So they win this game 1-0. Overall, you thought, especially first half Bayern Munich, that it was a professional first half, but that they got so much in danger was surprising in the second half.
Yeah, it is surprising, Casey, and it's surprising because this isn't the first time, is it, that we're not quite seeing that same sort of spark from Bayern that we did at the start of the season. What's changed? What's missing?
I think the only thing you can really think of is you know, and I hate to say this because they have such a big squad and they're such a professional outfit, but I don't know if it's fatigue or if it's just concentrating for 90 minutes. They felt it was so easy that first 45, they were just going to roll to victory. But then, you know, when they really needed to up the tempo after Augsburg had nothing to lose, 1-0 down late, they're pushing, they brought on subs, they moved players forward. But they caused so many problems. And Bayern, they couldn't hold the ball. Mm. They couldn't connect. You know, they looked like the minnow fighting for a point against the European champions, not the other way around.
Jürgen, on that point, it's interesting because when we were looking for excuses for Bayern, we say, well, maybe they're tired. The winter break obviously gave them the chance to kind of recharge their batteries. Joshua Kimmich was out. He returns now. But they are still very much a shadow of the side that we saw at the start of the season.
Yeah, they're lacking a little bit kind of the easiness of things, you know, their movement is not as flowing as you usually see them. But they got the job done. And I think they realized over the last week, they realized after the defeat at München Club, and then especially in the German Cup there against the second division team Holstein Kiel, they realized, you know, we have to grind these games out. We have to figure out just to get 3 points and just get into the next phase of the championship. Obviously, the first time since many years that the Bundesliga played through the winter time. Mm. So that's another little change. But I think, you know, they had a good attitude. I mean, they had a good body language, but they're lacking maybe a little bit of energy right now. But I mean, look at the table of the league now. They are 4 points clear. And the only team really that can put them in danger this year is left with RB Leipzig. That's the only team that could really put some damage on them.
It's so true. We're talking about Bayern as if they're not top of the table. 4 points clear, Casey, but I suppose because they've set the bar so high over the last calendar year. But let's focus on their challenges. Leipzig with that victory today against a tough Union Berlin side, which leads us to a question which I think is getting more and more obvious to answer week in, week out. Leipzig are the challengers, aren't they, to Bayern this season?
Yeah, it sure looks that way. I mean, I know Leverkusen had a win, but they'd been stumbling, and Gladbach are in good form, but I think they've given themselves too much to catch up. Dortmund, who knows what's going on with Dortmund right now? They're just, again, we're talking about Munich being a shadow of themselves. Dortmund are a shadow of themselves as well. And I'm still not sure that Leipzig have the goal-scoring threat. I know what they've done well is, I think I saw something the other day that they've had 14 different goal scorers in the league this year, which is fantastic. But I think to win a title, you need that standout striker that's going to get you 20 goals. And I'm just not sure Leipzig has enough firepower to really challenge Munich, because I truly believe Bayern are going to sort this form out. They're going to then be more dominant, and I'm just not sure that RB Leipzig is quite there yet.
Maybe they get Werner back on loan. That'll sort out, wouldn't it? Right, meanwhile, let's take a look at what is happening at the bottom of the table. Schalke taking on Köln 31 minutes into this one. It would be the visitors who would take the lead. Header from inside the box from Zikos making it 1-0, Casey.
Yeah, Schalke have had just huge problems defending set pieces. And Fährmann gets a decent touch on the ball, but then how are you just so wide open at the far post?
Then what about this? Young US striker Matthew Hoppe once again finding the back of the net for his fifth goal in just 3 matches. The fairy tale continues.
Oh, tremendous. And it's always about, you talk about strikers being in the right place at the right time, and just Matthew Hoppe just always being alert, being in the right spot, and a tough finish.
And then, speaking of tough, this pretty much sums up Schalke at the moment, doesn't it, Casey?
Yeah, it does. Cologne were better the first half, and then Schalke were just so good the second half. They got the equalizer, and then just catastrophe in stoppage time to lose to Cologne.
But if we're going to put some sort of silver lining on the cloud, it is the fact that Matthew Hoppe continues to score goals. And Jürgen, what's incredible about this story? You think, all right, you get a hat-trick. First ever American to get a Bundesliga hat-trick. Well done, that's a one-off. But then you score last week, and then you score today. It just continues to fuel this fantastic story, doesn't it?
Oh, and I think he really used his chance. I mean, all of a sudden he's in there. Then in the first one he scores three goals. The next one he scores, and he scores today again. But when you look at his movements, you look at his game, Matthew is a player that really is just playing to his strengths. You know, his strength is, you know, reading the game ahead, figuring out where could the ball drop, being there at the right time. And then he's very calm in front of the goal, you know, just finishing things off. He had another huge opportunity just right before halftime. Unfortunately, the last piece, you know, didn't connect. But as long as he's focused on doing just what he's good at, I think he will continue to score. And I just really hope for Schalke that they find still a way out of this mess. It looks pretty ugly right now. I mean, this was a heartbreaker because I thought Schalke played the second half extremely well. Harit stepped it up. You know, they created chances. They were the better team. Even if Cologne had hit the post almost through a Schalke player there, and almost an own goal. But they were there. You could sense that they're trying to get back on track. They started to connect pieces, and then there came this killer in the 93rd minute from Cologne, and they have the winner. And this is really difficult now for Schalke. After this is down a half point of the Bundesliga season, 17 games into place. You know, they start the second part now with the next games, and being 8 points away, it's going to be very, very difficult for Schalke.
Schalke in real trouble at the bottom of the table. Switching gears now to the news that Jordan Morris has been given permission to leave the US camp. It looks on the brink of signing for Swansea on loan in the Championship. Jürgen, what do you make of this move?
I think it's wonderful news. I mean, he was wanted already years ago. Before he signed actually for the Sounders, he was wanted by Werder Bremen in the Bundesliga. But then he decided to stay in Seattle to play there. His professional game. He did very, very well with the Sounders, obviously. But that he uses now this opportunity to go on loan and test himself out in Europe, I think it's wonderful. He will learn a tremendous amount. It will not be easy for Jordan, because especially in a championship in England, and Casey knows that far better than me, it's a battlefield. It's 24 teams, 46 games they play throughout the season, obviously coming now in the second part of it. But it will be a great learning curve for him.
For a lot more on what's going on with Americans plying their trade abroad, be sure to check out the latest article over on the website where the boys break it down in some detail. Meanwhile, Friday in the Bundesliga is all about Borussia Mönchengladbach against Borussia Dortmund. That kicks off a full program of matches that you can see on ESPN+. Jürgen, looking ahead to this game, all eyes, of course, will be once again on Borussia Dortmund, looking for some sort of response.
That's correct. I think it's a difficult one, but almost a must-win for Borussia Dortmund. They're 10 points. Oh. 10 points behind Bayern now. And this is, it's just not acceptable for a club like Dortmund. Meanwhile, Borussia Mönchengladbach is a bit back on track. But even them, you know, they're looking up, you know, in the table of the league. And this is now the chase for the Champions League spots. You know, both teams are far away from a title contender. So the only team that really can put in trouble Bayern Munich, as we said, is Leipzig. But for Borussia Dortmund, this is extremely important, this match, to get something out of it. Minimum is a point, but the desire is definitely to get more than just 1 point.
Casey, how do you see this one going?
Come on. Gladbach cruise it, of course.
Sorry, I meant objectively, Casey. But, how do you see this one going?
Oh, objectively. Sorry. I mean, I Gladbach are in great form. I mean, if they hadn't have conceded the other day in the 96th minute, it'd be four wins in a row. So, Gladbach in the knockout stages of the Champions League. So it's a team that's on the ascendancy and moving in the right direction, where Dortmund are going in the opposite direction. I'm hoping that Gladbach, I played a Friday night game against Dortmund. We had won 1-0, moved us to the top of the table, at least for the short period of time until the rest of the weekend. And I'm hoping Gladbach can do the same and get another win against Dortmund on a Friday night.
Gentlemen, as always, thank you very much. Just a reminder, if you ever missed a show, you can download our daily podcast, which is available over on the website. Plenty of bonus material, oh yes, for you to enjoy there as well. We're driven by the search for better, but when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/FC. Just go to Indeed.com/FC right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on the podcast. Indeed.com/FC, terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/network.
That's it. That brings us to the end of today's show. Thank you very much to everyone who has been on.
Oh, what happened?
On today's show.
Such a long show.
I don't know. I'm just reminiscing about
Open. Perth, Adelaide. How the hell do I know?
About. Right. Stay tuned. Next time is Legs, Craig, Stevie and Gab answering your questions. Welcome into the latest edition of Extra Time. Thank you, as always,
for
your
tweets.
Yesterday was a marathon Extra Time.
Short.
It was quite the mix. We had Shaka's daughter pop in, Shane. We had a long discussion about GQ magazine, which I think Stevie featured in regularly during his time at Liverpool. Gab Marcotti is with us as well to answer your tweets. Gab, a lot of transfer talk. People want answers to. Should Manchester United...
It's actually very grammatically incorrect.
Yeah, it's just all of it was a mess, but I think we can pretty much gloss over it. Should Manchester United look to sign a player during this transfer window? If Odegaard is available on a short-term loan deal, should we sign him to play right wing, or is that not his strength?
Wow, Odegaard. I don't think Real Madrid are going to... Unless you can take Odegaard on loan with some sort of buyback option, I don't know that it makes sense for Manchester United. You're not really necessarily addressing a short-term need. I think obviously United could do with better players in certain positions, but I think the market, the way it is, unless there's some kind of bargain or something like that, I think you're better off waiting until the summer.
I don't think United...
And then you'll also have more answers on Pogba's future at that stage too, and I think that's important.
I don't think United will... When you look at it, I don't think they'll do any business because they've got three guys that could play up front, and then, Rashford, Cavani and Martial. We know they don't always play that, but they could play through the middle. Pretty much covered in the middle. I mean, they could get better players, but they're pretty much covered for personnel. Lindelof's fit.
You're asking this very seriously.
Well, I'm telling you why I don't think they'll go for him, because they've got cover in most positions. They might not be the best players, but they've got cover.
Good.
And when I don't take it serious, which is most times, you get annoyed.
No, just you started extra time by saying, let's make it shorter, and then you've just got a big long answer listing all of the United strikers. Gab, when do you think Lampard will be shown the door? Will there be a different approach this time by Chelsea hierarchy during to the pandemic?
Well, I think there's already been a very different approach. We saw that. In fact, I have a piece coming out tomorrow on this very subject. I don't believe Frank Lampard will be sacked unless Chelsea come to the realization that somebody else is better suited to getting them top four, and top four is in serious jeopardy. I don't think we're at that stage.
Who's their number one target,
by the by, but should... Look, right now, there's a man named Pini Zahavi who keeps pushing Thomas Tuchel on them.
Right.
I don't think that's happening. I think longer term, my understanding is that they really, really, really like Julian Nagelsmann.
Okay.
But obviously he's not available right now, and you know, I think you're looking at the summer, maybe beyond, and obviously should Nagelsmann leave Leipzig, he's going to have, a long list of clubs that are really into him.
I was saying that to you earlier. They don't want to go... That was the reports in England. They don't want to go down an interim manager again.
Mm-hmm.
So if they can't get someone to the summer... And I said to you, Nagelsmann, I mean, I'll be honest, I'm not a huge Tuchel fan. I think they could go down a different route, and it looks like they might. But the only trouble for Lampard is... He has to stave off the desperation of them waiting to the summer if that's what they want to do. And the only way he can stave off one man, and it is going to be one man's decision, is by getting some results in the next few weeks to show that the top four is still a possibility. If that becomes less likely, I think they will pull the plug before the summer.
Okay.
So it's going to come down to the next 3 or 4 weeks in terms of results. I don't think Abramovich wants to go down that route just yet, but might have to.
Stevie, you went on, obviously, yesterday. Frank Lampard, should he go?
No, I don't think so. It's a horrible run. And right now, due to the results, due to some of his selections, he's making everybody ask questions of whether his inexperience is beginning to tell. And it kind of looks that way right now. But I agree with Gab that I don't think it's far enough down the line where you need to get rid of him. Listen, 3 or 4 weeks ago, I was saying it just feels wrong to get rid of him. I'm kind of still in that boat, but it does feel as though it's getting a little closer.
Gab, thoughts about Diaz-Stones' partnership? Does it remind you of Maldini-Nesta duo? Do you feel bad for Laporte, who was considered the only defender at City 6 months ago?
So I have to hold my hand up. I think Ruben Diaz has far surpassed my expectations. I think he's been tremendous. And obviously Pep thinks so too, because he plays the guy every single game. And obviously the way Stones has come back has also been remarkable. I think it also shows you, I think that's a testament obviously to the player, but also to managers who don't just write players off when they're not performing, but look at them and say, all right, how am I going to make you better?
Mm.
I think we'd want to take it a bit easy with the Maldini-Nesta comparisons until they won a couple Champions League titles. But, you know, Laporte, you know, he's had COVID, he's had injuries and everything. Laporte's also played left back before when he was younger. Laporte gives you the option of playing a back three.
Oh,
100%. I think he's got a good chance of getting back into this team.
Why did you hit the table? Cut him off.
No, he's back.
That's how you're doing.
I, that makes me laugh, though, these, you know, because they have had a good period, Stones and Diaz, but to pitch in Maldini and Nesta, two of the great defenders of their generation, I mean.
Stevie, was there a specific drill you hated doing on the training ground?
Running.
Oh. I'll tell you what, whenever you used to go with Scotland, the warm-ups were absolute bore-fest. You've never seen so many... I'll tell you what, it's a shock. It's a shock that we didn't have helicopters and aeroplanes try to land on the field we were training at. There was that many cones, and it was just boring. It was awful, and I absolutely detested it. Every second of it.
Just give us a bit more insight, Stevie. What was it about the cones that made you so angry?
Well, there was 1,000 cones, and they were put down in not a particularly big area, and it was all about, oh, jog one cone, and then walk one cone, then sprint one cone, then jog two cones, then walk two cones. I was like, hey, what are we doing here? It was a complete and utter waste of time. It was just you talk about boring. Oh, my goodness. Awful.
He took that experience with him to the Revs, he did.
I know. Stevie, when you were coaching, was there something in particular you would do to the players because you knew it would punish them, hurt
absolutely.
Them?
Absolutely. There was very few cones.
Right.
That's exactly what I did.
Oh, there you go. What about you, Craig?
I had to go through the same as what he went through.
Have you got a problem with cones as much as Stevie?
Well, it's pretty much the same regime. It was just after he finished with it, I came in and I went through the same thing.
Yeah.
The same old
did you hate part. It as much?
It's just a giant bore because we didn't. That's not what we did at the clubs.
Right.
We didn't. We used to do a thing with Scotland called, and it used to be like defence v attack v defence.
Okay.
So they used to put like four defenders in, and then have like 10 players from the halfway or 8 players,
right,
attacking against them. And I mean, it was just nonsense.
Yeah. Why would they do that?
I don't know. Absolutely no idea.
Because you said it was in a book. They must have read it out of a book.
Right, I see.
Yeah. Most of the Scotland training sessions, in all fairness, were just completely alien to what most of us were doing at our clubs.
Okay.
There's no other way to put it.
When will Craig adopt the newest technology and buy wireless earbuds like Stevie?
I've got them. I wore them last night.
Why didn't you wear them? You wear them on because what? Asia, when, they're when good you... enough for Asia Sports Centre, but not for us.
Well, no, what happened was when I'm working from home and the gallery Skype me, for some reason the buds won't link up, but the Sports Centre crew FaceTimed me last night.
Oh, wow.
And it linked straight up. So there you go.
Do you need Stevie to come around and help you with them? He can help you with your Skype.
I'm available.
He's a technological genius, that man.
Stevie, how long did it take you to set them up and pair them with your iPad or phone or whatever it is?
You better go and ask Ellen.
I'd imagine so. Yeah.
Pairing them's okay. I mean, I've paired them once for the show.
No, it's not difficult. You can't say it as if it's a big achievement.
For some reason, last night I was able to get straight through and do the Sports Centre.
I thought he said he was in a hurry, wanted a short one here. He's giving us all earphone stuff.
Okay, final question. This is mean. Who is most likely to go bald first out of the three of you? So Gab, Stevie or you?
Well, Frank won.
Well, it's not Stevie.
Stevie's got a good head of hair.
He's got a full head of hair still. Yeah. Albeit it's ginger. I think I'd rather not have it.
So Stevie's...
Hey, excuse me. Strawberry blonde, thank you.
Stevie's at the bottom of the list. Now we have to have a look at Gab now.
It's definitely Gab and me. He's still... Yeah.
Yeah, I got to say this. I think it's a proven scientific fact that male pattern baldness depends... It's heavily influenced by your maternal grandfather.
Right.
So my maternal grandfather was fully bald by the time he was like 28. It may surprise you that despite my youthful good looks, I am older than 28.
Wow.
So I think I'm doing pretty well to hang on to what I have. But yeah, the future looks pretty bald.
Right.
My dad...
Hey, Gab, I don't know...
Here's the gin.
Hold on. My maternal granddad had a fried egg on his head. So how's that? I'm not.
Not surprised.
I don't know, maybe different rules apply.
Yeah.
My dad and my granddad both were totally bald.
My dad as well.
My dad was totally bald.
He had a fried egg.
By about 26 or 27.
Right.
So I am more than happy to have held on.
However,
25-year-old lad back in England is having a little bit more of a struggle up than I was at that age.
But you've tried to help it, haven't you? You've tried to aid nature with products in your hair?
No.
What about Heidi? What did she find that time?
What, did I put Heidi in my hair?
No, didn't your daughter find a product that you were using to help?
No, that's false.
Okay, what's the story?
Well, there's no story.
I have definitely not made that story up in my head.
What's up?
That Heidi found some product that you're putting in your hair to make it fuller.
It was shampoo.
Yeah, it was special shampoo. Wasn't
special
it?
Growing again
yes,
shampoo.
Yes, there it is. Thank you very much.
That was a long time ago. It doesn't work.
Hey. Oh. Hey. Keep watching Shark Tank. They might come up with something for you.
Listen, there's all sorts of places you can go now if you want to have it done.
Well, Raf Honigstein, an expert, of course, on that. That is it.
Raf said he's got no idea what you're talking
get
about.
Get a syrup.
I'm sure Raf embraced it, didn't he?
Get yourself a syrup.
Antonio Conte. There's a few, isn't there?
Well, it's Wayne Rooney.
Yeah. Nice, I go again, didn't
Ryan Giggs?
Yeah.
Let's go for all the Man United ones.
All the Man United born people. Would you get it done? You'd get plugs done, wouldn't you? If you went?
I'm not too. I actually said to my wife and my daughter a night or two ago, I'm just going to shave it now. I can't be bothered.
Why?
They were like, nah.
Yeah, it would look weird.
No, I've had a number two before.
Why?
A few times.
And well done. Good.
So I'm happy with that.
Right, that's it.
It's good enough for Stuart Robson. Gone for the eggshell finish, squeaky clean.
I think we're done, aren't we? That is it. That brings us to the end of today's show. ESPN.
You've just outed Honigstein.
I don't think that's a not new thing.
Well, he thinks it's a secret.
ESPN SC, back on your screens tomorrow. Be sure to join us where I'll be making an official apology to Raf Honigstein.
Did you know less than 10% of Americans own an e-bike? Here's why that should change. Studies show e-bike owners actually end up exercising more, plus getting outside more. If you're looking for a balanced lifestyle and everyday adventures, you need to check out Lectric e-bikes. They're the number one selling e-bike brand in America. Their bikes are typically foldable, pre-assembled, and have serious range up to 150 miles on some models. Check them out today at lectricebikes.com and add some more adventure to your week. That's LECTRIC ebikes.com.